Hey listeners, this is Eli Wisdom from the American Physician Scientist Association. Today's podcast episode is the audio from a recent APSA webinar where we hosted a panel of current dual degree program directors to tackle the topic of interviews. Our panelists were Dr. Stephen Lentz from University of Iowa, Dr. Hannah Broom from University of Mississippi, Dr. Neil Chi from UC San Diego, Dr. Diana Milwicks from University of Texas at Houston, Dr. Alicia Fornoni from University of Miami, and Dr. Brian Schutte from Michigan State University. The information shared in this episode is invaluable to anyone who is preparing to interview this cycle or in future cycles, and we cannot thank our panelists enough. We hope you as listeners find this episode valuable too, and encourage you to share it with others as well. As always, follow the American Physician Scientist Association on social media using the handles in the show notes to keep tabs on when our next live applicant interactive series will be. Thank you.
Welcome to the Double Docs podcast, a podcast devoted to exploring the MD-PhD journey of UCLA Caltech med students.
In this podcast, we share our views and discuss things we find interesting. These are not meant to be recommendations or medical advice. These are solely our opinions and experiences and not representative of those views expressed by any affiliate institution.
We started this podcast in order to introduce people to MD-PhD programs, provide insight on how to apply, talk about what the journey looks like, and what your career options look like after.
Hi, everybody. It's wonderful that you're joining this webinar to learn about interviewing for the MD-PhD programs. I am an MD-PhD graduate of the University of Texas Southwestern, and I now direct another UT school, UT Health in Houston, and the MD-PhD program there is a joint program between the Health Science Center and MD Anderson. Both of them are located in the Texas Medical Center and are right down the street from each other. I myself do research on genetically triggered vascular disease, and I absolutely love being a physician scientist.
Hi, I'm Steve Lentz. Happy to be here. I'm also an MD-PhD, a physician scientist. Graduate of the MSTP at Washington University in St. Louis, but I've spent most of my career at the University of Iowa. Like Dr. Milwicks, I'm a hematologist interested in vascular biology and thrombosis and coagulation. So I spent most of my career mainly in the lab, but also seeing patients, every week as a physician scientist. And I'm the director of the MSTP at the University of Iowa. Carver College of Medicine in Iowa City. We've had a funded MSTP since 1977, so we were one of the first, maybe we were 14th or 15th, I think, among the now 50-some MSTPs that are funded by the NIH. And we're getting ready for another season of interviews coming up soon in a few weeks.
Hi, thank you for the invitation to join today. I'm really excited to actually meet all of you. Again, my name is Neil Chi. I'm from the University of California, San Diego, and co-direct the Medical Scientist Training Program of the MD-PhD program here at UCSD. I am also an alum of an MD-PhD program and an MD-PhD that splits his time as wearing multiple hats as some of my other colleagues. Of directing a program administratively, because I'm also the Assistant Dean of Physician Scientist Education here at UCSD, and I still am clinically active. And in fact, I'm currently in the CCU and running a lab. So it's definitely very fun, and I look forward to actually sharing a little bit about and answering any of the questions you have about physician scientist career pathways.
I'll echo my co-panelists here and say thank you so much for inviting me to participate this evening. I am from the University of Mississippi Medical Center. I'm an alum of the school. I earned my PhD in biochemistry and have transitioned into education administration over the last few years. And so I'm new to the program director role within the last couple of years for our MD-PhD program. I work with a co-director who is a physician, an ER physician, and we both work together to direct the program. And we are also kicking off our interview season here in the next couple of weeks. So I'm excited to be here and answer any questions that y'all have about the process.
Thanks, everybody, for being here. Very excited to address your questions. I'm Alessia Fornoni. I'm a physician scientist by training, although a little bit less traditional. I did my medical degree in Italy and my PhD between the NIH and the University of Miami, where I am now the co-director of the STP program and the chief of the Division of Nephrology and Hypertension, and I direct the Drug Discovery Institute. I'm very excited to be here. If there is one thing I have to say, this is a wonderful career. 25 years into my job, I feel like I'm paid for my best hobby, and I'm happy to share this with you as we go in the Q&A session. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Brian Schutte from Michigan State University, and I'm the co-director of the DO PhD program in the College of Osteopathic Medicine here in Michigan State. And I'm a basic scientist. My lab studies craniofacial genetics of disease and development. And happy to be here and answer some questions.
My name is Min Pham. I will be your live moderator today. And I'm currently a postgrad student undergrad at UCLA. So what made an applicant stand out in the interview?
Go ahead, Alicia.
I'll go ahead and start and say for us, what it naturally starts to trend is being something that stands out is when a student is very visibly excited about or engaged in research and the past research experiences that they've had. You can very easily kind of parse those students apart from those that might be just regurgitating what they wrote in their essays for their application. So that's definitely something that stands out to us is a visible excitement about research and the career in research.
I want to say on that, I really think that the most important aspect is passion. This career is not about getting a free medical education. So this career is about nurturing a passion and a strong sense of intellectual curiosity. So when I see eyes sparkling when you talk about a research idea and hypothesis, what would you do? The dream to be able to touch the sky and with discovery is really what make an applicant a very strong one and somebody who can really express that passion in a very humble and compassionate way without a arrogant I can do it all mentality. So those are all aspects that for me are extremely important. You know, you're all very competitive, you all come with great scores, MCAT a little bit plus minus, but we know that these are not correlated to successful outcome in physician scientist career. No, so really the grasp of intellectual curiosity is what count the most for me.
Yeah, you know, I would agree with my colleagues here. I mean, I think research is a real key component, but really kind of sort of thinking about in the terms of thinking about research and impact of how that might be with biomedical scientists or biomedical discoveries. Really thinking about, have you really thought about what it means as a becoming a physician scientist? What that, what sort of, what trajectory that might be, what your long-term goals are. So research is definitely one key component, but right, research can be for those who are interested in pursuing a PhD, but those who have sort of that interest of melding the two of actually being a physician and a scientist is sort of a kind of a key component of the sort of the physician scientist career pathway. So it's very much in line with what my colleagues are saying. That's sort of things that we're kind of looking at for these, for the candidates.
So I will go to the next question. So the second question is, the applicant asked, are all of the interview will be virtual? Do we have any in-person option?
Yes.
Ours are in-person, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing both.
We're doing just virtual.
Yeah, we're doing just virtual. And I think I saw something from the National MD-PhD Directors group, the great group, that 90%+ of MD-PhD programs are doing virtual or mainly virtual interviews. Yeah. We do plan to do in-person second visits, pandemic allowing. We decided not to go with an option or a hybrid, just to make sure we maintain parity and were unbiased and didn't put any applicants who were maybe at financial disadvantage, in a bad spot, having to make that decision.
Same philosophy for the University of Miami. We are doing first round of virtual only to allow to capture the underserved, and we will do the revisit in person.
I would echo what Steve and Licia said. We are the same. We are virtual first for that very reason of equity. Inclusion is a very important aspect for us at the University of California, all across the campuses. And as Steve said, we recently had a meeting in the last week or two where actually it was polled, and the greater than probably 90% are probably along the lines of doing virtual. More broadly, my understanding of the AAMC is the medical schools are beyond just the MD-PhD programs are thinking along the same lines just for the medical school. But that means that we still have an opportunity, as Steve mentioned. I think many of us are thinking, it's hard to make a decision if you don't see the campus. So a second is kind of nice so they can see the campus. I don't know how people managed 2 years ago to choose a school without seeing it. So and they did. And I think it worked out well for everybody at the end of the day, but it wasn't really quite interesting.
Yeah, I think this is the new normal, not only for medical school interviews, but residency and fellowship. I was talking to a fellow today on rounds. We're just starting fellowship interviews, and they're all virtual. And that's a challenge for those guys to match at a program that they haven't seen. So everybody has to get really good at Zoom interviews.
Another question. So when you mentioned about the two separated programs, so the next question they are asking is that, are there a separating MD and the PhD interview for each of the program?
At our institution, we do. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Steve. At our institution, the medical school interviews the candidates separately from our MD-PhD admissions committee. And in terms of timing, we have done it both ways, where those two interviews are on the same day, and we've done it where they are on different days.
Yeah, so all the applications are through AMCAS, so you don't have to do a separate application to a PhD program. At our institution, we do MSTP interviews and College of Medicine interviews on the same day, on the same itinerary. But there's sort of a morning set of interviews with the College of Medicine and an afternoon set of interviews with MD-PhD faculty. But we try to make it, we're actually learning to do it better by Zoom. This is our second or third crack at it. So we're trying to make it more efficient and simpler and less stressful for the interviewees by, making the day a little shorter and getting it all scheduled at one time.
So we do a little differently at Michigan State. So we have the same, the medical school is reviewing the students. And then we also meet with them in the afternoon as the DOPhD program. But then they also will come in later to interview with specific graduate programs that they want, that they're interested in pursuing. And that is a, the graduate program pays for that trip for them to come and visit so they can see the campus and to see the program in person.
We do something similar at UMMC, where the graduate school will bring back our MD-PhD admitted students, and we will kind of speed date, is what we call it, through the different grad programs. Yeah.
We keep separate interview for MD and MD-PhD. We make sure that in the day for the MD-PhD, the directors are met, some committee members are met, and scientists that are requested by the applicants are met, which personalize a little bit the interview process for them. One thing I want to say is that I think I'm proud to say that the MSTP program have a lot of saying into whether we want a student to be admitted or not, and we can twist the arm of the medical school. Should medical school feel like the applicant is not very strong, we can actually overpower that if we feel like the person, individual fit the best, the criteria for a perfect physician scientist.
Thank you to our panelists. The next question is more about research. So what the attendee asked, that if you have multiple significant research experience, at least for 1 year, maybe more than 1 year, which one should I focus on with an interview to talk about?
I think that the interviewee should be prepared to talk about all research experiences, because it's not unusual that the person interviewing will look at the list of research experiences listed on the MCAS application and know one particular area and focus their questions in that area. So I really recommend the interviewees go back and review the science, the hypothesis, and what they did in the lab, even recontact the lab if they don't know what the end result of their project was, and be prepared to discuss any of those research experiences. And we don't want to hear about, you know, how tough it was to clone that little fragment into the plasmid or whatever. We want to know that they understood the overall hypothesis and the goals of the project, and then talk about what difficulties they had and how they overcame it. And the entire time, they should be passionate about research.
I so much agree with Diane, and I really would start being prepared for the project you like the most, the one where you know you're very excited. No, that will not betray you, but be prepared to address questions if the interviewer asks you about other research projects you're engaged with.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you should know them all, but be prepared that someone may ask you to pick one. You know, tell me one you're excited about and describe that. And what we're looking for is, have you really thought about the big picture and thought about the research in depth? We're not interested in the techniques you learned very superficially in one summer after another. We're, you know, if you're really passionate about science, you will have thought about the big picture and how what you did fits into what the group is trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with what everybody says. I think Steve hit the kind of the word for us, or the way when we think about it, it's a little bit depth, actually. So I may have misheard the question, but there may have been a component of time. And oftentimes, in terms of thinking about being able to speak about research deeply and in depth and understanding it, sometimes it takes a little bit more than a year of time doing that sort of research. Especially if you're passionate, you're going to want to do it. And then it comes out very easily when one speaks about it. And that's what we're looking for. As Diana said, we're not, the techniques is not so much as important as really, did you understand what you were doing and how passionate are you? And what sort of things would you do following up those particular studies? So in one has really thought about it and really passionate, they'll be able to figure that out and they'll shine in the interview.
So again, we value depth over breadth. And you got to remember, these interviews are going to be very short. And so practice that elevator talk. And I would really focus on that one project where you have ownership. That's the word I like to use, is ownership. You understand it forwards, backwards. And you know the words that we've heard, hypothesis, the significance, interpretation. Hopefully you've been able to participate in that side of science too. And if you have, you can get into that. And that's really an important part of science. And it demonstrates that you're already on that path of becoming a scientist. So that's great to see.
I'll echo Brian on the significance part too, and the relevance or translation. Often students will, like Diana, I think, mentioned, get into the weeds of the steps to clone that into a plasmid, you know, and we want to know that the student has also looked at that project from a 10,000 foot or 30,000 foot level and kind of seen where it fits in or could fit in a bigger picture.
We switch a little bit to the Q&A box along with the chat function to see if we have any question. Currently, I saw Dr. Shruti is typing on the chat also. But the question from Mackenzie is, Mackenzie asked that, how can an individual best prepare for an MD PhD interview?
So I started to write, I'll just answer. We've already had two similar questions, and both of research really stuck out. And that's what sticks out for us too. Somebody who is already on that path towards becoming a scientist and has demonstrated that through the work that they've done as an undergrad or as a postbac or wherever they're at. And again, we value depth of the research. If you're passionate about it, you're going to own it. And you have to be able to demonstrate that. And again, I'm going to say practice that elevator talk, because these interviews are going to come and go very quickly, and you may be really crushed for time in order to get that to share that passion.
I would answer the question a couple ways. One is, do everything you can to be prepared for a Zoom interview. You know, check out your computer technology ahead of time, log on early, think, you know. Practice that a little bit, the Zoom stuff. And then the other advice I would give is really try to be yourself. Don't try to be someone you're not. You know, don't try to project something that you think we're looking for. One thing I really enjoy is the story of how you became to be interested in applying to an MD PhD program. People come from all different perspectives. You know, when I was in college, I never thought I wanted to be a doctor. I was like going for science. I thought I'd do a PhD. And I said, oh, there's MD PhD programs. Maybe I should take a look at those. And so I got in, I became a doctor, and I found I've enjoyed being a physician. But other people start out wanting to be physicians, and they don't have opportunities to do science for a while. And then they find their way to that. So I kind of like the diversity and the different stories. And I think don't be afraid to tell your story, because we're looking for people with all sorts of different stories. How were they found their way to this career? It has to be the right career for you. So that's what I enjoy about the interviews, is the passion for science and hearing the path that everybody's traveled to get here.
I think this is the most common word we have heard tonight, passion. I think that should send a very straight message to all the attendees. And, one thing that I want to say, it makes it a little bit more difficult on Zoom to really connect and show the passion. But don't forget that eye contact is important also if you have a remote visit, a remote interview, you know? So look at your camera when you talk and make sure you show the passion. We can see it from a sparkle of your eyes, and it's important to demonstrate that. Anna, sorry, I spoke over you.
Oh, no, you're good. I agree with everyone. I was going to add, kind of echoing what Steve said about being yourself and being genuine. I tell students a lot of times, you're not interviewing with us to be a physician scientist. You're interviewing with us to be a student in an MD PhD program. So we're not expecting you to know all of the things that a physician scientist knows. We want you to be teachable and eager and show an attitude that shows that you are reflective and you've got the grit and the passion to get you through a 7-year program, which is the length of ours. So,
you know, Hannah said today, it's really interesting, the grit. That's actually a key component, actually. It's a long program, 7 to 8 years. And actually, it's interesting, in some of their annual directors meeting, we talk about what's one key component that actually tips off that student's going to do well, going to make it through and succeed, and actually grit. And so along the lines, I think Steve's talking about how you got there, became that decision. Some of that actually is somewhat helpful for us, because it really gives us an idea, as Alicia said, was saying, how passionate you really are in the end of the day. And are you really making an informed decision? Do you know what you're getting yourself into? And some of the things that where you may have gone through that may not have been such great points in your life that you overcome actually helps. And in many ways of helping us understand that you really are committed and very interested in this career path.
If you guys are listening in and think of any interesting questions that you would like to ask, please email us at doubledocspodcast@gmail.com or reach out over social media.